We're starting with the Gemara on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. We discussed the Mishnah yesterday. So Gemara wants to know what the case in the Mishnah is that Socher Tamonim Bitu Etzet Zeh. That the sounds like, right, the workers themselves somehow cheated or misguided each other. That's what the Gemara says. Chazru Zeh B'Zeh Lo Ktani. It doesn't say Chazru. Chazru would have indicated, right, that there was some sort of relationship between the Baal HaBayit and the Poalim and the workers that dissolved, that they somehow pulled out. But when it says Ela Hitu Zeh Zeh, right, that when it says Hitu Zeh Zeh, it seems to indicate it's one of the parties. And the only party that seems to have multiple players is the Poalim, the workers. So that would mean the Atu Poalim, that they misguided each other, or they somehow cheated each other out. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Damalei Balabait Ezil or Vili Poalim. So the Balabait instructs one of the workers, go out and hire me workers. Vazel Ihu Vatinu. And he goes ahead and he somehow misguides them. So Hey Chidami, what's the case? Idamalei Balabait Barba Vazel Ihu Amarluhu Betlato. So if the Balabait said 4 and per hour, and then he goes out and says, listen, you guys want to come and work here for 3 per hour, right? Taromet. What type of complaints do the workers have? Our Mishnah says that the workers have a complaint against them. What type of complaint do you have over here? Savur v'kabil. They accepted the work at 3 per hour. If they accept the work at 3 per hour, then why would they have any complaints? They were fine with that rate. If they were fine at that rate, what kind of complaint do they have? If the Baal HaBayit didn't hire him for 3 an hour, and he goes and says, no, I'll hire you guys at 4 per hour, hey chidam. Again, what's the case? If he says, listen, basically becomes a contractor, in a sense he says, listen, I'll pay you guys 4 an hour, and the Baal HaBayit told him 3 an hour, then we're going to pull it out of his hand. He's obligated to pay the differential. He's hired, obligated to pay the higher rate. The Tanya. Person who hires workers to work in his own field, and then instead of showing him his own field, he shows him his friend's field. He has to pay them their full compensation. Meaning that the individual hired them to work, even though they're not working in his field, they're working in someone else's field. But he indicates to them that he's going to pay them and hire them, so he's got to pay them. But close them and tell me, right, so then he goes back to his friend who he helped out, and then he could try to collect the value of what he generated for him, but no more than that. But we see that the Poalim end up getting paid their full value if he was the one who indicated to them that I'm going to pay you 4. So lo tzricha, so the case is like this. This is the first attempt to answer what the case in our Mishnah is. Damalu scharchem al Baal HaBayit. The worker, the intermediary here, goes in and says that you guys, the Baal HaBayit will take care of you. So he says, the Baal HaBayit will take care of you. The Baal HaBayit said 3. He says 4. And then he says, the Baal HaBayit will take care of you. So let's say, Poalim, Hechem Itagre. So first of all, let's see how much Poalim go for in the market. Meaning, how much is a hourly wage in the market? If the hourly wage is 3, or is the hourly wage 4? I mean, which is the correct rate that he should be paying him? Mar says, Latzricha, V'ika demagre ba'arba, V'ika demagre bitlato. There's some people hire at 3, and some people hire at 4. So the Amrulay, Ilab Darmatlan Barba, Tachinu Mitgarina Barba. He says, listen, had you not fooled us, had you not tricked us into thinking we're going to get paid 4, we would have gotten and found one of those better paying jobs, and we would have taken it 4 an hour. Now we're stuck at 3 an hour because you tricked us. Basically, he said to them, listen, 4 per hour, and the Baal HaBayit is responsible. Baal HaBayit only says 3, so the Baal HaBayit is only the hook for 3. So they're out. Now, 3 is a normal schar, it's a normal right wage, because the wage fluctuates between 3 and 4. There are people pay both. Since that's a normal wage, the Baal HaBayit can pay them 3 without any problem. Now, the 4 that he promised them, in the middle to Roman, they can, you know, complain to him. He didn't guarantee the salary. He just says that the Baal HaBayit will take care of it. Obviously, he can't obligate the Baal HaBayit, because the Baal HaBayit told him he only wanted 3. So that's the complaint they have. And that's why, and what is their complaint? Their complaint is that had you not tricked us, we would have gone somewhere else and found a better wage. We would have found a higher paying job. Now, the other possibility, second answer to...
Did he say 4 to begin with?
Who said?
The middleman said 4.
Yeah. But he did not out of his own pocket. He said 4 from the Baal HaBayit. So that's the difference in this case. Now, Ibayit Ema, so the second possibility is how to answer...
That's different from the last time we said that they get much... What they
because there he says, Karchem alai. He said, the middleman says, I will pay your wages. So when he says, I will pay your wages, then he's on the hook for their wages. So now, the Gemara says, our second answer, right, to this question that we have, well, how come, let's look at what the Paulim are hired for in the market. By day, we're not talking about normal workers, we're talking about a balabait. He owns his own field, he works his own field. He says, listen, generally he doesn't hire himself out because he has his own field to do, and it's beneath his dignity. It's not worth his time and effort to get hired out as a poel. But when you pay a little bit above market, when you pay a job more, then all of a sudden it becomes worthwhile for him. So the Baal Bayit says, listen, had you said 3, I would have stayed home. I wouldn't have done this. On the other hand, when you said 4, that was enough of an incentive for me now to show up and do the work, because now it pays for me to do it. So therefore, I'm willing to do it at 4. So that's the complaint he has here. Generally, right, the Baal Bayit said 3. This worker, the intermediary, said 4. So they showed up because the intermediary said 4. Now, at the end, the Baal Bayit only had 3, and that's the torah they have. That's the complaint that they have, which is that he tricked them into working when they normally otherwise would not have worked at this salary. Now the third possible answer here is Ibai Deima. Why? What about look out in the field and see what, or look out in the market and see what normal workers get paid? The Olam Papua Lima Skinan, we're dealing with workers. The Amrile Kevin Damartan Ba'arba Tafinim Abdin Khabdita Shapirta. He says, listen, you know, there are different wages. There are wages when it's 3, there are wages when it's 4. Now, if you pay us 3, you get the, right, the run of the mill work. You pay us 4, we do super duper work. We do the extras. We throw in all the extras when we do it at 4. So Samar says, let's say I'm going to tie you. So let's go check their work. See what if they did that super duper work. Are they entitled to 4 versus 3? I mean, did they do the work of what would be classified as 4? So it says, Samar says, Berifka, that they had to, they dug a ditch around the field. Samar says, all right, Berifka nami me yodo yodo. Yep, you can look at the ditch and see how nice a ditch they made. The mali mayo. They filled it with water. It was a ditch that they created around the field, and they filled it with water, so they were unable to see what type of workmanship was done in the ditch. And therefore, when they say we did better work, that's their complaint, but they have no rights necessarily to come be mekabel, the higher value or the higher salary at this point.
And if they would have done the extra work, then, I mean, and that's some, I guess then they would have...
Then we go back to
a valid claim. Like, right, they wouldn't have filled the water.
That's what. So the idea, what Rashi seems to indicate here, is that we go back to the Braisa before. The Braisa said before, but says that if you promise to pay someone, you must pay them. Now, if you do work that they didn't otherwise ask for you, you have to pay them mashen ho, that what they benefited you. So over here, he's only obligated to pay them the 3 an hour. But if they did work that's really worth 4 an hour, and he does benefit from the fact that they did that extra work, then he has to pay them that additional hana.
If I go into my neighbor's yard and mow their lawn without them asking me, they have to pay me.
Right, so it bothered me yesterday. I don't see that distinction being drawn and shown in here, but I agree that there has to be some sort of, it has to be that the person would have otherwise done it, right, and he would have paid someone else to do it. So instead he's paying you, or you're giving him a benefit that he otherwise would have wanted. To suggest that, right, that you can go and cost your neighbor money without any regard seems to me to be not to make so much sense. So I would agree with you that it has to be that he would have otherwise wanted this better work, and since they did it, then he has to pay them the hanah. Again, if he would have just said, look, it was sufficient for me the other way, then I don't think he would have had to pay them that additional money. Alright. So now the Gemara opens up to a new answer. Not, these were subcategories. These three answers were subsets to the first answer, which was that he says, Charchem ala balabait. The intermediary says that your wages are with the balabait. And the Gemara wanted to know, well, if it's with the balabait, let's just check what the real wages are in the market. So Gemara gave three answers why they can't check what the wages are in the market. Either the wages fluctuate are both between 3 and 4, so we can't check from that. Number two is it's a balabait, so it's unusual. He's a higher quality individual, so therefore he wouldn't have hired himself out except for 4. And the last answer we gave was that we did you a super job, and that's why we want the additional pay. Now, Gemara's going to offer an alternative answer to why, in our Mishnah, what's the problem of Hitu Zedzeh, that they tricked each other and they only have Taromet. Ibai Zema, Lolam, Damarle Balabait, Barba. That the Balabait said 4, Basil Hiu, Amarlehu, Bitlata. And he went and told them with 3. Ah, Vektamar, Tzavur, Bekabil. Right, you're going to say, listen, right, you guys accepted 3. I mean, that's what we said before, right? We explained before there were two possibilities. Right, one possibility is that the original, the Balabait said 3, and then the Poel said 4. So he said there, if he says, Karchem alai, if he says it's my responsibility, then he's got to pay for it. Right? If he says, Karchem alai, bayit, then he doesn't have to pay the extra, and then they have to roam it. That was the first answer we gave. The other case that we said was a possibility was that the Balabait said 4 to the intermediary, and the intermediary says 3, and then they say, fine, at 3. So they were suffer b'kabil. That's what the Gemara answers. So why is that? What taroma? What complaint do they have? So the Gemara says they do have a complaint. Amrlu b'tzalat b'kamar suffer b'kabil. Damri leilachal timna tov mibalov. Right? That you shouldn't withhold goodness from their balim. You basically could have given us more. We could have earned more. And you basically cheated us out of the possibility of making a better living here. So true, Mi'ikar Adin, we have no claim, we were sofer kabil. But why hold back something where we could benefit from it? And so it's some sort of indication. You know, this din is an interesting din, right? Because it's not quoted. When Tosus quotes on Choftal Amud Bet, Tosus quotes the different scenarios of Tnim Yishrut Adin. Those quotes, three categories of Tnim Yishrut Adin, it does not quote this category of Al Timna Tov Mi Ba'alav, do not hold back goodness from their friend. So it seems to be more along the lines of a Sita Yashar V'atov. Right, to do what's right, that this is proper conduct, proper behavior in general. Right, not that you necessarily Tnim Yishrut Adin, but the way the Ramban reads a Sita Yashar V'atov, that's an obligation to properly act. Now, you can't enforce it. It's not a halachic obligation where we can go and take you to Beis Din and extract money from you. But a person should conduct themselves where they give the most benefit or the best opportunity to those individuals who could benefit. Right now, Gemara says, Pshita, it's clear to us. The Baal Habayit says three, Vazel Ihu, Amarle Ba'arba, and he says, they say to him, four. He goes out and tells them four, you know, the intermediary. And then they say that the way the Baal Habayit said it, datayu iluyu, right? So then their minds or their mindset is on him. So what does that mean that their mindset is on him? That afu pisham lo ariani anani screaming tvar Baal Habayit. Even though they said, or actually says that they said we agree whatever the Baal Habayit said. Nevertheless, lo lefchot, that doesn't mean to their detriment. The only means we're relying on the Baal Habayit only to our benefit. So that means if he offers them, right, the Baal Habayit is offering lower and he's offering higher, the intermediary is offering him higher. When they say we have da'at on the Baal Habayit, they're only saying that to their benefit. That if the Baal Habayit was higher, we would accept the Baal Habayit. But if you're higher, then it will depend. As Rashi points out, it will depend what the intermediary says. If the intermediary says, Karchem alai, then he will be responsible for that additional amount. If he says Karchem al Habayit, then all they have is Taromet. But that is clear in that scenario what should be the situation of the Poalim and what their mindset is. Ella, the question about the mindset of Poalim is in this case. I Amalei Baal Habayit Ba'arba. The Baal Habayit says four. Va'azal Ihu Amalehu B'tzlatan. And he goes, the intermediary goes and says three. V'amrei Kamash Amar Baal Habayit. Over there, he says, like the Baal Habayit. My. Now, what's the situation here? Adibura didei kasamchei, right? Do they say we rely on you? Da amilei mehemnin lan, da chiamar Baal Habayit, that we believe you, that that's what the Baal Habayit said, and therefore we rely on you and savir bekabil, and that's it. All they get is three. Oh, dilma adibura the Baal Habayit kasamchei, or maybe they really are relying when they say we're relying on the Baal Habayit means not you, the intermediary who is the representative of the Baal Habayit, and the Baal Habayit himself. If that's the case, they should get four. So the question of reliance here is who are they really relying on? When they say we rely on the Baal Habayit, do they literally mean they are relying on the Baal Habayit? Or they mean that we're relying on you as the representative of the Baal Habayit? And the difference obviously would be the difference between getting three or getting four. So Tashma, bring a proof from Git. Why is that? Aveli Giti. So the woman says to a shliach, bring me back my Git. Now, a woman is only entitled to establish what type of shliach? A shliach, the Kabbalah, to accept the get. She doesn't have the ability to have a shliach, the holacha, to bring her get, because she is not the one who gives the get. She's the only one who receives the get. So what she can do herself, she can empower an agent to do. So what she can accept the get, so she can empower an agent to accept it on her behalf. So over here it says, Haveli Gitis. She says to the shliach, bring me back my get. Right? So that she can't do. Now, he goes out, this shliach goes to the Baal Habayit, says, Ishtecha amra hitkabel digiti. The shliach says, your wife told me to accept the get on her behalf. So now, what does the husband do to complicate this more? Bu'omer, heilech kamash amra. Take it like she said. Right? So that's what the Baal says. The Baal says, take it like she says. So amar rav nachman amar bevua amarav, afilu get the yada in migreshet. Even the get reaches her hand, there's no get here. Shmamina, a dibura didei kasamich. That it sounds like we are sumeich on the dibura didei. Why? What happens here? The woman established a shliach to be a shliach lehodacha. She can't do that. She is not empowered or entitled to establish an agent for bringing a get. She can only establish an agent for accepting a get. The shliach himself, the messenger himself, says what? Messenger says, I am a shliach lekabbalah. So now, if I'm a shliach lekabbalah, what does the Baal think when he's giving it to the shliach? He's handing it to the shliach and saying, what? Take the get. And what does he think in his mind? He's thinking, this shliach is a shliach lekabbalah. But really, the shliach needs to be a shliach leholacha, to take the get to the woman. But he's not establishing that. Why? Because he's listening to what the shliach says. On the other hand, the woman herself said, make it into a shliach leholacha. So there are two possibilities of what we think the Baal is thinking. He could either be relying on the agent and doing what the agent thinks, or he could be relying on what the woman says. So in the end, what do we say? There is no get here. If we say there is no get here, that means the shliach was neither a shliach leholacha nor a shliach leholacha. Why? The agent is not a shliach kabbalah because the woman never established him to be a shliach the kabbalah. Now, a shliach halacha, it's not because the woman can't establish it even though she said it. Who could have established it was the Baal? But the Baal thought it was a shliach the kabbalah, that the shliach was accepting on behalf of the woman. Because of that, he didn't establish the shliach, his agent, to be a shliach halacha. So you failed on both sides. There's neither a shliach halacha nor a shliach the kabbalah. Because they're both trying to do an agency that they can't create. The woman's trying to create an agency for halacha, and the man is trying to create a shliach lekabbalah, which he can't do either. So what do you see from this? Who is the Baal relying on? It's clearly relying on Degray today, on the shliach's word. Because if he was really relying on the woman's word, he's relying on the shliach's word over here because he's leaving the shliach as a shliach lekabbalah, rather than what the woman said was to make it a shliach halacha. Had he been really relying on what the woman said, then he would have made the agent into a shliach leholacha, and it would have worked.
He wouldn't have needed to. She already did.
Right? She can't. She's not empowered.
He doesn't know that.
I know. That's the whole point here, that he could create the agency. He himself created a shliach leholacha. He says, well, if the woman said to make you into a shliach leholacha, I'll make you into a shliach leholacha, and that's fine.
But she's Enum Egreshet.
Right? The Enum Egreshet proves that he's relying on the shliach, and the shliach said shliach lekabbalah, and then therefore the husband thought it was a kabbalah, and he didn't establish anything here. That's the point. So you see that what? From this case, we are relying on the shliach. The intermediary is the one that you rely on. Right? If that's the case, then in our case also, right, we should say that, right, that the fact that Tosfos phrases alma lav date de bal iloy dida. You see that the balabai, the husband does not rely on the woman. That the Paulim also do not rely on the Balabait. They're relying on the intermediary here, and whatever he says should go. That's what it means when they say we believe the Balabait, or relying on the Balabait, it means we're really relying on you as a representative of the Balabait. Where it says, the Isa Kadatcha Dibu Duda Kasamech, if you believe that he's really relying on her Dibur, Mechimati Gita the Yadam, Yatigaresh, then at least when it reaches her hand, it should work. Why? Because if he did it like she said, then it would be a Shleach HaHolacha. Shliach halacha, when it reaches the woman herself, then she accepts the get, and it's a good get. So Amar Ravashi says, Hachi Ashto, how could you explain? How could you even compare the cases? Bishlamayit mar ipcha. Had the case been in the reverse, you could have proved something from it. What's that? Had she said, Hitkabel di giti, she says to the shliach, accept the get on my behalf. So she's appointed him to be a shliach, the halacha. Then the shliach shows up and says, "Ishtecha amra, havei li giti." He says, "No, I want to be a shliach le, right, holacha. That your wife said, send me as a shliach le holacha." V'omer, helech Moshe amra, and he says, "Take it like she said." Right? So she said, "Take it like she said." So now, basically, it's the reverse case of what we had before. Right? In the first instance, the woman appointed the shliach to be a holacha, which she can't do, and the shliach says he's a shliach le kabbalah, which the woman never established. Now over here, it's the other way around. The woman really made him into an agent to halacha, an agent to be Kabbalah. Now he's an agent of Kabbalah, it would have worked. Had the husband handed it to the shliach, it would have been done in a second. But the shliach shows up and says, you know, your wife said, I should be a shliach to halacha. So now what does the husband say back to him? So the husband says back to him, do like what she said. So now when he says do like she said, now we could approve. When the get reaches his hand, had they said, when the get reaches the hand of the shliach megreshet, alma adibra adida kasamich, then we know for certain that he's relying on the woman. Why? Because the woman appointed the shliach to be a shliach le kabbalah, and therefore, if he says, I rely on the woman, and Rav Nachman Amar Ravua would say when the get reaches the hand of the shliach, it works. That would have indicated to us that he really is relying on the woman's word. Inami. If the other conclusion had been according to Rav Nachman Amar Ravua Amarav, shegia get the adam migureshit, when it reaches her hand, right, then it would have been migureshit. Alma adibur adidei kasamich. Then it's clear that he's relying on the shliach. The shliach said, make me into a shliach l'holacha. So when he makes the shliach into a shliach l'holacha, and zent it, he's relying on the shliach. So from this, we would have been able to prove exactly what we want to know. From here, you can prove whether he is relying on the shliach's word or he's relying on the woman's word. Because in either case, she would be migureshit. It's just a question of when she is migureshit. As opposed to the first case which we introduced, which is a case where it fails entirely. Why is that? Elahatam. In the first case, mishum da'akar shliach shluchutei legamrei. The shliach ruined the shlichut. He invalidated his agency. Damarle shliach lekabalah, right? Avina, lo'olacha, lo'avina. Because then he shows up, he says, I'm a shliach lekabalah, and I'm not a shliach lo'olacha. So Rashi says, what's the difference between the two cases? In both cases, the shliach says something that he's not. Right? If he says something he's not, why don't we say in both cases, he's invalidated his agency? So Rashi explains there's a difference. Why? Because one of them requires much more effort than the other. Which one? To be a shliach lekabalah is much simpler. As soon as you get the get, the woman's divorced. You have no obligation right now to get the get back to the woman. You get it back, or she'll get it from you whenever she wants. That is a much easier job, much easier shlichut agency. On the other hand, if you are a shliach l'holacha, you have to guarantee or basically ensure that the get reaches the woman in order for her to be divorced. So that's much more of a undertaking, right? That's a much harder job to do. So therefore, in our case, in the first case, the woman instructed the shliach to be a shliach l'holacha, right? The agency that requires much more work. He shows up to the Baal and says, I'm a shliach l'kabbalah. When he says, I'm a shliach l'kabbalah, he says, I don't want to be bothered with this holacha business. I'm a shliach l'kabbalah. So when he does that, he invalidates his agency. When he invalidates his agency, then he is nothing. Meaning that he is zero. Nothing's going to work here. Both from the side of being a shliach l'kabbalah or a shliach l'holacha, he's nothing because he's indicated that he only wants to be a kabbalah and not a holacha. In that instance, it doesn't work at all. That's what Rav Asher says. In our case, the second case, Rav Asher says you could have proved the point, is why? Because he was originally appointed to be a shliach l'kabbalah, which was the easier, right, which was the, he was originally appointed to be a shliach l'kabbalah. He was originally a shliach l'kabbalah, which was the easier job, and then he indicates, I'll do the harder job. Comes to the Baal, he says, I'll be a shliach l'holacha. So in that case, he can do that. He can upgrade his shlichut, if he specifically says, I'm upgrading my shlichut. That's fine. If he's willing to take on a greater form of shlichut, if he's willing to be, right, an upgraded form of agency, that we allow him to do. So in that instance, had you come to the case and said, give me the answer, which the Gemara opens here, the two possibilities. So the one possibility is that she's divorced immediately, then he's a shliach l'kabbalah, and we say that we are relying on the woman. Or if we say that she's only divorced when it reaches her, then we say we're relying on the shliach, because the shliach says, I'm a holacha. When he accepted this added agency, that's fine. So because he was willing to upgrade his agency, and because only when he gets back to her, then we'll know also. That we could have, from that, if we had an answer to that question, we would have known whether reliance is on the agent or the reliance is on her. But we don't have it. But from the original case, we can't make any conclusions. We can't draw any conclusions.
But if in the original case, he would have been relying on his word, and then subsequently appointing him as a shliach of halacha, the appointment would have been his in the first place, and he would have recreated a perfectly valid shlichus, and she would have been divorced. But since she wasn't divorced...
But the question is, right, the question over there is that he says that the reason she's not divorced has nothing to do with the Baal HaBayit is thinking. As to that he was mafkia shlichut, he's no longer an agent. He's invalidated his ability to be an agent.
Baal HaBayit is shliach.
Shliach. He's invalidated his ability to be an agency. Now, you're saying, oh, the Baal HaBayit created a new agency by making him a shliach olacha. Problem is, that's not what the Baal HaBayit said. The Baal HaBayit said, do like she said.
The Baal HaBayit said, do like she said.
That's all he says, right? So then he didn't really appoint agency. He's relying on the woman, and then the woman's agency has been invalidated. So if he's relying on the woman's agency or appointment of this...
Right.
Right, so he's not solving the problem, and therefore he's not recreating shlichus, and that's the problem. He's relying on the woman's original appointment of the agency, which she really couldn't do, but using that, the agent is now invalid, has no connection to the woman anymore, and therefore he can't create it if he does it in that manner. Had he said, like you said, look, you're an agent in the holacha, period, that's fine. He can override the agency. He can be mafkia, the agency of the woman, and say, no, you're a shliach holacha. That he could do. That's not what he said. He said, I'm relying on what the woman did, and the woman's agency has been invalidated. It's annulled. And now, Ibai Teiman goes back now to original as the third answer, possibly of how to explain the Mishnah of Hitu Zed Zed. What does it mean that they tricked each other? Right, so until now we gave two answers of what it means, Hitu Zed Zed. Right? The first answer that we gave was that the Skarchem al Balabait, the intermediary says that you are relying on the Balabait, and he gave them the right the lower price, and he says you're relying on the he gave the higher price. He says you're relying on the Balabait. He said three. So they only have Taromat on him. They only have complaints to him because the Balabait's paying it. The Balabait only guaranteed three, and all they have is Taromat on him. So that was the three different answers we gave why in that case it works. The second answer that we gave was that the Balabait said four. He says three. Savir v'kabil. Right? So then they accepted three. Why should they have any complaints? That's Altimna told me about love. That the Altimna told me about love. Don't hold back doing good for people. Meaning that even though they were severe b'kabil, let's say it wasn't the right way to act. It wasn't a nice thing to do, and therefore they had complaints against him. That was the second answer. Now here's the third answer. That when it says chazru in the Mishnah, it really means it's synonymous with the word chazru. So hitu zetze doesn't really mean that they tricked each other, but rather chazru, that there was a reneging on the deal over here. Hitu kar detanya. We have a price that uses that. A socher tamunim. So here we have a braisa that uses the word hita to mean, or in synonymous with the word chazru, that they backed out. And that's what it means. Hitu here in our Mishnah also means zetze. They have no complaints against each other. They can just complain to each other. There's no other right, legal action they can take each other. This is the Tanakam who does not agree with the author of our Mishnah. It says, that's in the case where they did not go yet. I mean, they did not go to the location where he indicated to them that they were going to start their work. If they have not begun to be engaged in the work, then they can say that all they have is Tarumet. If they back out before they've been engaged in the work, then all they have are complaints against each other. If the donkey drivers went, and they went to pick up the merchandise, and they find there's nothing there, he hired workers to Masu Sadek Shilecha, or the Paralim show up at the field that he told them to go to, and all of a sudden it's flooded, or it's wet, and they can't do the work that he indicated. Notein lechem skaram mishlam. He has to pay them in full. Right, there he has to pay them in full. So they showed up to work, he asked them to come to work, and they did what he asked them. The fact that they can't go to work, that was something that he should have checked, right? That's his issue, that the merchandise isn't there, or the field's not ready. Aval, eno domea ba ta'un leba rekan. Now obviously, when he pays them here, when we say pay full wages over here, a donkey driver that's coming back empty versus a donkey driver that's loaded, right, it's a different story. So, it's a difference between a poel who's working and a poel who get paid for sitting around all day. So we've seen this numerous times in the Gemara, that what discount would an individual take, what is the differential that he's willing to accept to do the lighter load, right, and not do the full work. Now obviously everybody wants to earn more, but there is a certain discount or a certain amount of percentage that a person would be willing to take in order to do the lighter work. If someone's offered to take the job and work all day, what discount would they do to be stay at home and do whatever they want and still get paid? So there is some sort of discount a person would like to take, and that's what he should pay them here. He should pay them that discounted amount. So Gemara says, that all has to do with that they haven't actually started doing the work. Once they've started to work, then we assess what they've done until this point in time. He pays them for what they've done. Right? They look. He said to them, look, you do the work, you've done a quarter, you've done a half. How much of the work you've done, I'll pay you for what you've done so far. So again, I said before, this Tana is not like our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, he says, Yada malatachtona, that they have the whoever backs out of the job, they're in the worst situation. They do not have the upper hand anymore. Here, it sounds like they just get paid for the value that they created. Ketsa, what's the situation? Kiblu kama, tzor, v'shnei tzmaim. They said, listen, we'll harvest the crops, we'll take down the grains for two sela per day. Katsu chetia, they took care of half of it. So they cut half of it, v'inichu chetia, and now they leave the other half. Beged arog, they took some sort of beged to weave, right? Piece of clothing to weave, b'shnei tzla'im, that they would weave the whole beged for two sela, argu chetzio, and niyochu chetzio, they weaved half of it and they left the other half. Shemim lahem et mashasu, they reassess what they've done so far. Haya yafesh shisha dinarim, if it's worth 6 dinar, natein lahem sela. So even though, right, the sela is only worth 4 dinar, right, nevertheless, we only give them a sela. They did half the work. The total work was worth, right, eight. I mean, the total work was worth eight, which is two sela. Right, even though now with their work, or the value of their work is technically six, or here really the case is that the remaining work is six. It would even be that the remaining work is worth six. Nevertheless, he pays them a seller. They did half. That's it. They get paid half. Oh, yigmaru melachtam, yigmaru shnei shleim. If they want to get paid the full amount, finish the work, and they'll get their two seller. Right? V'im seller. If they did a seller, the girl has a gusim shekel. Latein lam seller. Doesn't matter. Even if the remaining work is only going to cost a shekel, or in the other case, possibly that their work was only worth the shekel, he pays them a seller. In either case, they get the value of the work. We look at the original agreed pricing, and at that agreed pricing, we say, listen, take chetzio, you get half of what you were entitled to. It doesn't matter if what you've done is worth more, or what you've done is worth less, or the completion can be done for less. Either way, you get your seller, and that's it. We assess the value of the work you've done relative to the agreement that we had. Rabbi Dosa, who would be the author of our Mishnah, we used to do author of Mishnah, Omer, Shemim Lehem Ashatid Lehasot. We don't look at what they did, we look like what they are going to, what's going to cost the Baalim in the future. And we look at that, what is it going to cost the Baalim to finish? Why? Who backed out over here? The Baalim backed out. If the Baalim backed out, Yavdam Alatachtona. Right, they get the worst of the two scenarios. What's the worst of the two scenarios? If it's going to cost them more to finish, right, then he deducts that from the two seller and he gives them the remainder. If it's going to cost them the same amount as he said originally, they get their salary. If it's going to cost them less, they still only get their salary, right? Meaning that he's not going to pay them more for backing out. That doesn't make any sense. So now, Amar describes, Ayo yafesh shisha dinarim, notein lehem shekel. If the remaining work is going to cost them shisha dinarim, six dinar, he gives them a shekel, which is half a seller, which is two dinar. Right? So if it's going to cost them, originally agreed, eight dinarim to finish the job. They come, they've done half the job, they're really entitled to four. But it's going to cost them six to finish it. Since it's going to cost them six to finish it, he takes that out of their salary and he gives them shekel, he gives them two. Oh, yigmaru melachtam b'tilu shnei selaim, or finish up and get your two seller. You want your full payment, finish up the work. V'im seller, again, if it's worth it's going to only cost them a seller to finish, or the way the Gra terms it, which would make a little more sense, if it's going to take them a shekel, only two dinar to finish the work, they only get four. He's not going to pay them six just because it cost them two to finish, because the original agreement was eight. If they did half, he gets four. So if he gets four, if he gets it for cheaper, that's their loss, because yadam ala tachtona. So that's Rabbi Dosa. So Rabbi Dosa says, yadam ala tachtona, we look at the future value that is left, and the Baal HaBayit has the upper hand here. The Baal HaBayit has the upper hand in determining. Again, if it costs him more, he takes it out of their salary. If it costs them the same amount, they get their salary. If it costs them less, right, then we still don't give them more. They get what they were entitled to. That's it. But Tana Kama believes, no, that we pay them for what they did. Whatever they did, they get paid for. So then we look at the work that they have done. The work they have done is worth, right, a seller. They've done a seller worth of work. They get 4 dinar, no matter what it's going to cost them to finish up the work. Even if it's going to cost them 6 dinar to finish the work, they still get their seller because they did a seller's worth of work. We just look at what's been done, not what the future is going to cost them to finish the item. So obviously the Tanakhama doesn't believe, yadam al tachtona. He just believes that you have an agreement. We look at the agreement, and then we assess the value of what you put the prorated rate of that agreement. So now Gemara says, another qualifying statement. But davar sheinu avud. When is this true? This is only with something that's not avud, and he can hire other po'alim. Meaning if he waits a day, if he has to wait 2 days to finish it off, he's not going to lose by hiring other po'alim. So that'll be the situation. About davar avud, if he has to hire somebody right away, then sofer lehem omatan, that he either hires new workers right away, or he can trick them into working that. Ketzad nitan, what does that mean that he tricks them? Omer lehem, sela katzatz lechem bo tzlu shtayim. Originally I said for you, a sela to finish up, I'll give you two. I'll double your wages to finish up. Right, so that's, what is that? Right, he's tricking them because he's not going to pay them anymore. In the end, he doesn't have to pay them anymore because davar avud, he can't find other po'alim. He can, in a sense, trick them in order to have them finish what they committed to do. If he doesn't get them to finish what they're committed to do, he's going to have a huge loss on his hand. So he's allowed to do that and say, listen, I'll pay you double the wages now. And then he only pays them the seller that he owed them. At kama socher lehem, up to how much he can pay up to them, at arbiim b'chamishim zuz. There you can have up to multiples of their salary he could go and pay. So first of all, he won't pay them anything. And then he could go demand repayment for them because they caused them this loss by having him to go out and hire these additional workers. That multiplying of the loss, he can demand for them. So he can wipe out their entire salary plus add on an obligation on them to pay even excess of what they would have gotten or what he, not just withholding their wages, but in excess of withholding their wages, and he can obligate them in that instance. So if that's the case, right, so he has two options here when it's davar avud. Davar avud is either he finds new po'alim. If he finds new po'alim, he can hire them to wipe out their wages plus in excess. If he can't fire anything else, he can hire them in excess of their wages, and they'll be obligated to pay the excess above the salary that they're foregoing. Right? Or, mitan, he can trick them and say, listen, I'll pay you more, I'll double your salary. They work, and he only pays them what he originally committed to. But there is no machlokas here. Who's disqualifying? Is yeah, according to this, it'd be both. But then, even the Tanakama, and then
right,
the Rabu.
And logically, it doesn't make
right.
sense.
It makes sense that if it's the Rabu, it has to be. Now, Gemara says another qualification. This is all if there are no replacement workers. I mean, the ability to trick them, or the ability to hire other workers and either withhold their salary or to be in excess and obligate them is if there's nobody else there. About Yisham Polim the score, right? If there are other workers there that can replace them, Bamar Tseu Skor Meilu, and the Elohim Elotaromet, then he doesn't have any claim against them except the complaint that they walked away. So meaning, if he can replace them in kind and find workers that will replace them, then all they have is a complaint that they walked out midday. Schir Yom is entitled to walk away. So now, if there are other Polim out there, then he has to go hire us, replace us, and he doesn't have any complaint. So Rashi points out that in the Gemara over here, but when we say the Bamed Dvar Mamurim, where we had two stages over here between, it says, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, when they didn't go out already to go get the merchandise. And then the Braisa also said, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, Shlo Yitzchilu B'Malacha. So it seems to be the same thing. Why, when he went out to the Chamarim to get the merchandise from that location, and Yitzchilu B'Malacha, this should be synonymous. So Rashi says they're really talking about two different types of workers. There's a worker who is a Kablan, and there's a worker who is a Sechir Yom of Poel. So if he hires when it switches, Rashi says, Ad Hasha Parish Mide the Schirut. Till this point he talked about Schirut, Hasha Parish Mide the Kablanut. So in the first case, when he's talking about Schirut, it's hiring a Schir Yom to go out and fetch merchandise as a driver. Or he's hiring somebody to, pull him to work in his field. So those are all Schire Yom. If they're Schire Yom, in that case, once they go out to the location that he told them, then he's obligated to start and pay them. On the other hand, what is Kitchilu b'malacha? They started to do the work. Tchilu b'malacha is talking about Kablan. What did he hire him to do there? He hired them to weave a beged. He hired them to harvest the field. So there, it's not a skill. He's hiring them for a specific malacha, to do a specific job, not on a day labor. In that case, what starts the Kablanut is that Mishitchilu b'malacha. Once they start to do the work, then the Kablanut has started. So that's what just Rashi points out before. What sounded like two cases, the Bamed b'Mamurim, sounded like the exact same case. One is they show up at the location, and one is where they start the work. What's the difference between showing up in the location and starting the work? One has to do with Paulim, Skiryom, that's the start for them, is showing up in the location of the work. And for a Kablanut, when do you start? You start. The contractor starts when he actually begins the work. Then he's classified as a contractor, he can't back out. So in that case, that was the Bamed b'Mamurim, when the Baal is obligated to pay them, despite the fact that they're not doing any work, and at what level we discuss there. Now, the Gemara says, brings down a Tana Tanei Kamei to Rav. A Tana, there was a Talmud sitting in front of Rav, and then he says, Notein lahem scharam nishulam. Like the price is said above, you pay him in full. When the workers show up at the location, like the Chamar shows up to bring the stuff back, or the Paulim show up to work the field, they can't work it. Says, pay him in full. Samar lei, Chavibi Amar, says, my beloved, who's this Chavibi to Rav, was Rav Chia's uncle. Right, it's Rav Chia's uncle, he called Chavibi, so he says, my uncle Rav Chia says, If it was me, I would only pay them like a poel batel, which is exactly what the price says. You say pay them in full? Doesn't the price itself, here, this individual is Talmud before Ra, is bringing the price up, but doesn't the price continue and say, he didn't finish the brisa. I mean, he got to the point where he said mishulam, but he didn't finish that qualification in the brisa, which is how much. What does mishulam mean? Mishulam means kischar poel batel. So I know Hanami. They agree. Rav, who's quoting Rav Chia, really agrees with what the brisa says in the end that the brisa completes, which is that you only pay him ke poel batel. Ikadamre. There's another lashon here. It's senua kamei. They finished the brisa here. Bahachik amar. And despite what the Bryson says, he says like this, Chavibi Amar, Rav Chia, my uncle says, Ihava ana, lo avi yivin alei klal. I wouldn't pay them at all. If it was me, I wouldn't pay them. Vaz Amar kapoel batel, and you want to pay him like a poel batel. Right? Why? So it's a very interesting line. Rashi says, lo yivin alei klal, why? De mazlei ugaram. It's their bad mazel. They showed up in the field. Right? So now, the question really is whose bad mazel is this, right? Is it the bad mazel of the Balabite, because he hired workers and then he finds out the merchandise is not there or the field can't be worked? Or is it the bad mazel of the Poalim that they showed up to work for a guy and then there's no work to do? Whose bad mazel is? Now you have a stira between Rav Chia and the Braisa. So what are you going to do with the stira between Rav Chia and Braisa? The Gemara says, right, look, Ella Kashel, that stira, what are you going to do with it? No, it's not a kasha. Depends, did he look at the field the night before or not? The question of who looked at the field has been machlokes Rambam and Rashi. Rashi says that the night before, he took the poalim to the field. Right, he actually took the workers out to the field the night before. They looked at the field, and right, they didn't realize that it was all wet, or the rain fell at night. Right, then they get nothing. Right, they saw what there was coming up tomorrow. They knew what was there. They accepted what the situation was. And once he took them out there, and they took them to the situation, they're not going to get get paid. Right, that's bad mazel for them. Now, on the other hand, if he does not take them out to the field, then they basically are relying on the Baal HaBayit. And the Baal HaBayit has to inform them that the field's not workable and the merchants are not there. If he does not inform them, then it's the obligation of the Baal HaBayit. It's his bad mazel now because he didn't inform them. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, the Rambam reads it has nothing to do with the Poalim. Rashi reads it that the Baal HaBayit took the Poalim. The obligation has to do with bringing the Poalim out there. Rambam reads it as the Baal HaBayit himself. That's the only person who has to go out there. If the Baal HaBayit Bikir Batzmo checked it on himself the night before, then he's not a Pusheya. Because what else could he have done? He checked, it looked fine. And then when they show up in the morning, it's their bad luck. They show up and the field's not good like it was before. Then if he doesn't check, then we say that's his problem, it's his fault, because he should have checked beforehand, and then he could have indicated for them to not come. So he says simply about the Baal HaBayit, which is actually bringing the Poalim out. So I'll explain the answer. Ki Adam Rabba, it's exactly like what Rabba says. Hi, Monda, Ogar, Agire, the Rifko. People, someone who hires workers to dig a ditch. And then all of a sudden it rains, and it fills it with water. If they check the field the night before, say to the Poalim, then the Poalim moves out because now it rains and they don't need. He doesn't need the ditch to bring the water anymore because it rained, right? So that the Poalim moves out because he's like, you're right. He brought them there. Either according to Rashi, he brought them there, or the Baal HaBayit went there the night before, according to Rambam. Lo sir the ara. Again, if he did not take them there the night before, or right, miurta the night before, or according to Rambam, he didn't go the night before. Say to the Baal HaBayit. Then it's the loss of the Baal HaBayit because he should have checked so that he could indicate to them the necessity of the ditch or not, or to show up at work. The fact that he didn't show up didn't indicate to them that. Then it's the loss of the Baal HaBayit. It's his bad mazel. Right? So again, we obligate the Baal HaBayit to do, or the Poalim, according to Rashi, to take the Baal HaBayit, to take the Poalim there, to do as much as they have what's within their control. So if he does whatever's within his control, then we say sorry to the Poalim, it's just bad luck that it didn't work out. But if he hasn't done everything in his control, and then he shows up, we say you didn't discharge your obligation to ensure that whatever work you were hiring us for was really there. If you didn't do that, then the obligation will be on you to pay them ke poel batel. It's someone who was sitting. Alright, so we'll stop over here.